It's David against Goliath in much of the literature, and that simply isn't accurate. The Confederates weren't woefully disadvantaged vis-a-vis their northern opponents. But let's look at several categories here, and let's start with arms. Almost all Confederate soldiers had rifle muskets by the middle of the war. That is, they had up-to-date, modern shoulder weapons. That isn't to say that all of them did. Well past the middle point of the war, there were still Confederate units armed with the old-fashioned smoothbores. The unit that fired the volley that wounded Stonewall Jackson at Chancellorsville, for example, on May the 2nd, 1863, was armed with smoothbores. Some of the biggest Confederate units at Gettysburg were still armed with smoothbores. So they don't all have modern weapons, but the vast majority of them by the midpoint of the war have rifle muskets. 250,000 of these muskets were produced in the South. About 100,000 were captured from northern soldiers, and another 600,000 were imported from somewhere in Europe. The most popular of those imported from Europe were Enfield muskets produced in England. They were very good muskets, a little bit lighter than many of the American ones, very accurate. They were popular both in the Confederate Army and the Union Army. Now, Northern soldiers were armed with rifle muskets on average a little bit earlier than the Confederates, but not a great deal sooner than the Confederates. In some Union units also had smoothbores quite late in the war. The Irish Brigade, the famous Irish Brigade in the Union Army, got rifle muskets rather late in the war, for example. About 2.5 million rifle muskets were produced in the North. Another million were purchased in Europe. The North also produced modern kinds of weapons that the Confederacy didn't produce at all. They, in the North, produced 175,000 repeating arms, together with about 160,000 breech-loading arms. The Confederacy couldn't make these kinds of weapons. The repeating arms, the Spencer's the most famous example of that. It could fire 7 shots without stopping to reload. That's an enormous technological advance over the single-shot muzzle-loading rifle musket. The North could have armed a good number of its soldiers with these, but there was resistance within the Army bureaucracy toward doing this. They thought that soldiers armed with repeating weapons would shoot up their ammunition too quickly and put a great burden on the Ordnance Department and maybe place themselves in peril on some battlefield. So mainly cavalrymen were armed with repeating weapons in the North, and not all the cavalrymen. The same with the breech-loading carbines, that is, carbines that would load from the back rather than from the muzzle. The Confederacy lacked the brass to make cartridges for many of these weapons, so even if they captured them from the North, they weren't very useful. Breech loaders and repeaters, mainly cavalry weapons for the North. But the most important weapon on both sides is that rifle musket, and both sides pretty much had armed their soldiers with them by the middle of the war. All right, what about ordnance? What about the powder and the ammunition that both sides used? This was one area where the Southern arms never really were at a disadvantage in terms of quantity. The Confederacy produced all of the powder that it needed for its armies. But the quality of its artillery ammunition, not the infantry ammunition, but the artillery ammunition, was much lower on average than Northern artillery ammunition. Civil War artillery rounds, many of them had fuses. They were designed to explode in the air. You'd estimate the distance, you'd cut the fuse. It's not like a cartoon fuse that sticks out of the round. It's an internal fuse, but you'd estimate the distance, you'd cut the fuse, and you'd fire the round, and theoretically, it would explode at the right place and hit the target. The Confederates never could get the fuses right. They had many, many rounds that either exploded prematurely or didn't explode at all. They would go all the way over the target and just plow into the dirt. One Confederate artillerist at the Battle of Chancellorsville in May 1863 estimated that only 1 round in 10 that his battery fired had fuses that worked correctly. So you had the phenomenon of Confederate gunners not being sure where their rounds were going to explode, and Confederate infantry did not like their artillery firing over their heads because the rounds would often explode too soon. There are a couple of instances of Confederate infantry units turning around, pointing their muskets at the artillerists behind them and saying, "Stop shooting over our heads. Your rounds are exploding. We're going to fire on you if you keep doing that." I don't think they really would have, but they were making a point. And it was a point that the artillerists took. Union artillery ammunition, on the whole, much more reliable. The Confederates have plenty of it, but it isn't nearly as good. They did have